KPCC's podcasts are supported by Harvey Mudd College, where engineering, science, and mathematics are informed by the liberal arts. Students and faculty working together to solve problems and serve society. Online at hmc.edu.
This is Film Week On Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. We come your way a half hour earlier than usual today so that we may bring you live coverage of President-elect Obama's news conference at 11:20 this morning. We start today on Film Week with Madagascar, Escape to Africa. Four New York zoo animals get lost on the way home from a romp in Madagascar and end up in the plains of Africa. The voices of Ben Stiller, Chris Rock, David Schwimmer return to the characters that are directed by Eric Darnell and Tom McGrath. The film is being screened in IMAX as well as conventional projection. In this scene, Skipper, the head penguin, voiced by McGrath, and Alex, voiced by Ben Stiller, argue about fixing their plane after it crashes.
You, pretty boy. Why don't you and your friends dig a latrine? Maybe find water.
Oh, hold on a second. Who made you king of the plane wreck?
Excuse me? Fine. You can be in charge. You fix the plane.
Who gives you the authority to put me in charge?
Okay, then. I'll remain in charge.
Yeah, that's right. You will remain in charge.
But you and your little hippie friends can stay out of our hair.
Correctamundo. Because I decided to.
Good for you.
Yeah, well, guess what? This discussion isn't over.
Madagascar, Escape to Africa. Joining us is animation critic, historian, and author from Amazon.com, Charles Solomon. Charles, what did you think?
Well, a lot of this film feels very familiar, in part because they reuse so many things from the first film. There are some takeoffs and references to Lion King. And since the first one came out, DreamWorks did a TV special with the penguins, and Disney released their god-awful The Wild, which had essentially the same plot. So things seem very familiar. That said, there are some genuinely funny moments, including a spoof of West Side Story with Alex doing kind of Jerome Robbins Fozzie choreography. But a lot of it you've seen before. There's the nasty little old lady who kicked Alex in the crotch in the first movie. The penguins are still doing their pseudo-World War II movie shtick. Sacha Baron Cohen is doing his incomprehensible accent from wherever it is as the King of the Lemurs. And it's fun. I suspect it will do very well because there isn't anything else out to take kids to at this point.
Yeah, everybody cleared the path for Madagascar Escape to Africa.
Yeah.
Film critic for USA Today, Claudia Puig, has seen it as well. What do you think, Claudia?
Hi, Larry. I agree a lot with Charles, actually. I'd say familiar is putting it kindly. I'd say it's like Lion King, whatever, 4.
Okay.
as opposed to Madagascar 2. Having said that, for instance, Alec Baldwin plays his character is Makunga, but he's a real spinoff of Scar from Lion King. It is nice to hear Bernie Mac again. He plays Alex's dad, Zuba, and he's also in Bowman this week. So, it's a sort of a bittersweet performance there. But, when it focuses on the animals, it's a lot more fun. When they get that little old lady from Brooklyn, it's kind of the Ruth Buzzy kind of character, you know, beating people over the head or kicking people in unmentionable places. It's pretty, that's the least interesting part. But kids are going to like it just fine, and parents won't be offended.
All right. I thank you both for filling us in on Madagascar, Escape to Africa. It's rated PG. Well, also joining me are critics for our live-action films, Henry Sheehan of henrysheehan.com and Leah Lowenstein of Variety. And our first live-action film of the week is Role Models. A couple of co-workers get into legal trouble and have to do community service as mentors for children. Paul Rudd, Sean William Scott star in the film that David Wayne has directed and co-written with star Paul Rudd. It's rated R. Henry, what'd you think?
This is an extremely formulaic and not particularly funny comedy. You know, pretty much what you've said says it all. I mean, these two guys you know, wiseacres, one of them like kind of a smart one, one of them kind of a goofy one, have to work with these young kids who have problems. And they go on a journey together, and they not only help the kids, but they become better human beings themselves.
This can work, though. I'm thinking like School of Rock, that sort of, you know.
Yeah, but you know what you said, written, this film was written by? I think written is a euphemism for whatever really happened.
We also didn't mention so far just the heavy, heavy influence of Judd Apatow and his brand of comedy. Of course, you have three actors in this film who are Apatow veterans. Christopher Mintz-Plasse, who was McLovin from Superbad. Paul Rudd, who's in every Judd Apatow film. And Elizabeth Banks, who was in...
This is her movie of the week.
Federal Law, Elizabeth Banks has to be in all
right,
the movies.
Right now, she's in everything. But, you know, I think it's sort of imitation Apatow, if you will. I mean...
Cheap knockoff.
I don't know. I do like Paul Rudd very much, and I think he's a very entertaining guy.
He's a very likable guy.
Yeah.
But I think Jane Lynch is the only person who's really funny in this movie, the person who's in a lot of Christopher Guest movies.
That's right.
And
what's her character in this film?
She plays the somewhat whacked out supervisor of the children's home where they run the
Sturdy Wings program. is the kind of rehab program that they have. And you know, I have to say, not since like Eileen Brennan in Private Benjamin has there been such a funny and weirdly complicated authority figure in a comedy that I've seen.
She is just a really funny performer, and she's great here.
Great line readings and just great delivery.
It does seem like these Apatow-like films are coming out on an almost weekly basis.
Yeah.
And is Hollywood in danger of doing yet again cannibalizing itself to where no one's going to want to come to these anymore?
Well, you know, and I think what they found is a formula that seems to be working, and even Apatow is becoming derivative of Apatow in some ways. And so, you know, I think the thing to be careful of is just to reinvent the formula but add something different to it.
Well, I think it's exposed the formula as being contrived and somewhat cynical, too.
Yeah.
And these are supposed to be movies based on warmth and sincerity, ultimately.
And I do think the Apatow comedies at their best, they're kind of some of that gross-out male humor, but they really have a heart to them and a sweetness. And this one just felt really kind of contrived and fake.
Role Model, starring Paul Rudd, Sean William Scott, directed by David Wayne, and it's rated R. Coming up, we'll hear what our critics have to say about Soul Men, starring Samuel L. Jackson and Bernie Mac, and The Boy in the Striped Pajamas. It's Film Week on Air Talk on KPCC.
Programming is supported by Silver Lake Wine, specializing in boutique wines and spirits, weekly wine tastings, Wine of the Month Club, and wine and spirit gift boxes in all price ranges. Information at silverlakewine.com.
Programming supported by KCET-TV, presenting BBC World News, weeknights at 5. BBC World News brings audiences diverse news coverage with a global perspective. BBC World News weeknights on KCET. Toymaker Mattel is cutting about 1,000 jobs. KPCC's Cheryl Duvall has more on the El Segundo company's financial woes.
As anyone in retail can tell you, this holiday shopping season is looking bleak. Mattel's profits fell short of expectations last quarter, and a company spokeswoman said the economic slowdown amplified the need to streamline. So it's decided to cut jobs, including 8% of professional and management staff and about 70 people at its Fisher-Price unit in New York State. Aside from that toy line for the tiniest tots, Mattel makes Barbie and American Girl dolls and Hot Wheels cars and accessories. The company expects to trim jobs through layoff, retirements, and attrition. Cheryl Duvall, 89.3, KPCC.
Another big drop in gas prices today. They're now averaging $2.69 in L.A. County and $2.64 in Orange County. Prices have now fallen to their levels of late February 2007. It's 10:41.
Programming on 89.3 KPCC is supported by American Cinematheque and the Italian Film Commission, presenting new films from Italy, November 11th to 16th, featuring 9 premieres, including the multicultural Confectionery Comedy Lessons in Chocolate, Blood of the Losers, Quiet Chaos, starring Nanni Moretti, and Italian satire, Her Whole Life Ahead, at the Arrow Theater. The 2008 Cannes Jury Prize winner, Gomorrah, opens the series at the Egyptian.
Thank you. This is Film Week on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle with critics Leah Lowenstein and Henry Sheehan. We're here a bit early today so that in our next hour we can bring you live coverage of President-elect Barack Obama's first news conference since winning the presidency on Tuesday. Our critics next take a look at Soul Man, a comedy that pairs Samuel L. Jackson and the late Bernie Mac. Two former soul singers reunite when their group's lead singer dies. They have to put their differences behind them for a tribute concert. Sounds like a familiar formula. Malcolm Lee directed the film, which was co-written by Robert Ramsey and Matthew Stone. Soul Man is rated R. Lael?
Well, I had kind of a mixed reaction. First of all, it is very bittersweet to see Bernie Mac, and I guess one of his very last, is this his last film?
I think it's
film?
His last one.
And also Isaac Hayes, who passed away this year. Isaac Hayes has more than a cameo. He plays himself in the film. And there are moments when it's out and out funny, and the guys are really quite entertaining, and they spark off each other very
mostly
well.
Mostly in the first half, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'd say mostly in the first half. But for me, the experience of watching this film was dispiriting in some ways, also because I think partly because you and I, Henry, saw it right a couple days before the election, and I kept seeing it through the prism of race, and I was thinking about, wow, you know, what a retro and reactionary film it was in some ways, you know, and I thought. I don't know. I mean, that doesn't mean that there's not a place for it. It's just meant...
I didn't find it reactionary so much as a wasted opportunity because you have two guys who really can play these roles. It's somewhat based on Sam and Dave, who had a big split up because one of them went on drugs, and a little bit over Smokey Robinson, the Miracles.
Right.
If you remember, Smokey ditched them, and they only had one hit after that.
That's right.
And their big song is "I'm Your Puppet," the James and Bobby
puppet.
Purify song.
Yeah.
And they sing that a lot together.
Uh-huh.
But it's, you know, you had Bernie Mac, who came up through the comedy chitlin circuit,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you think he would have a lot to give on this. And like for the first half of the movie, it's okay, but then you know, they bring in a girl who could be the daughter of either one of them, and this schlubby guy from their management agency. And again, they just get back into this formulaic thing. I also don't think that they're helped by the fact that director Malcolm Lee directs like he has some kind of 16-page instruction booklet on his lap about you know, how to structure a scene.
Right, and you know, I don't know. A lot of it just felt very flat and predictable, even just down to the rear projection, you know, as they're driving in the car. I mean, that just looks so old-fashioned. And
big
and
disappointment.
But Samuel Jackson, such a great actor. What's up with Samuel L. Jackson? I mean, you know, sometimes it just feels like he's phoning it in, and I he's such a gifted actor. I would love to see him.
You know, I think if you pitch the project to him, it sounds probably pretty decent, and he gets involved, and then he sees once he's on the set that, oh, this isn't working, you know.
Yeah.
Soul Men, Samuel L. Jackson and Bernie Mac.
Still worth seeing for Bernie Mac, though.
All right. Yeah. Directed by Malcolm Lee, the film is rated R. The Boy in the Striped Pajamas is the story of a young son, a World War II concentration camp officer who befriends a Jewish boy on the opposite side of the fence. Jack Scanlon, Asa Butterfield, and David Thewla star. The film is directed and written by Mark Herman, and it's rated PG-13. In this scene, Asa Butterfield's Bruno meets Jack Scanlon's Shmuel through the fence of the work camp.
I'm exploring. What are you doing?
We're building a new hut.
Have you got lots of friends over there?
A few, but we fight a lot.
It's not fair. Me being stuck over here on my own, while you're over there, playing with friends all day.
Playing?
Well, that number. Isn't it part of a game or something?
It's just my number. Everyone gets given a different number.
Oh. Right, then what happens?
I have to go back now.
The two boys meeting through the fence, the boy in the striped pajamas. Henry?
Well, this is a movie that asks you to believe, first of all, that the wife of an ambitious SS officer who's been posted to head a concentration camp has no idea that Jews are being slaughtered at the concentration camp and is really surprised to find out.
Among other things. Among a lot of other things it asks you to believe.
Yeah, the other thing is that you're asked to believe that there's a section of a concentration camp where there's a fence, but there are no watchtowers and no guards, so two kids can speak endlessly. And third, it asks you to swallow the notion that the son of the commandant is jealous of of an inmate boy because he thinks he has lots of friends and that he's living on a farm rather than a prison camp.
It's
a ludicrous film, and then it's supposed to hit you with an irony about, wow, I wonder what the Nazis would have thought if this happened to
them. Right, there is a very weird twist at the end that we can't give away, of course, but other than the big incredulities in the film and the things that just didn't quite add up, I thought there were a few things that were very effective, like the way children constantly are contradicting themselves. They can they can believe something at one moment, and then they'll turn around and say something else. And I felt that boy gave a very effective performance. Asa Butterfield, I guess, was his name. And I actually liked the supporting work of David Thewlis and Vera Farmiga, but there were these huge holes that just didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and there probably is a movie in the subject of a young boy whose father is a concentration camp
commander. Right, that part.
But this is nowhere near sophisticated enough to handle it.
Way too simplistic.
Yeah. It's like a Fassbender subject or something.
Yeah, it could have been.
The Boy in the Striped Pajamas, written and directed by Mark Herman, based on a novel by John Boyne, and the film's rated PG-13. Ballast is the story of a mother and her 12-year-old son seeking a new life free from violence in the Mississippi Delta. Michael J. Smith, Jimmy Ron Ross, and Tara Rigg star. The film written and directed by Lance Hammer, and it's unrated. Henry, what did you think of Ballast?
I thought this was a pretty good film. You know, the plot description you gave is accurate, but this is not really a movie about plot. This is a movie about relationships. And it's
my favorite kind.
And it's about the mother and her 12-year-old son and her brother-in-law. And the movie opens with her ex-husband committing suicide and her brother-in-law going into a deep melancholy. Now there's there's a huge chasm, pre-existing chasm between the dead man, the brother-in-law, and the mother and child already. And the boy is also getting in trouble. It all takes place, it has a great setting, the Mississippi Delta during a rainy and cold winter, which is not how we're used to seeing the Delta. The director, Lance Hammer, I think, is very gifted. I think there are some problems with this film, but I liked it quite a bit.
It's worth mentioning, this film played at Sundance. I believe it got a directing prize at Sundance.
Well-deserved, I
think.
Would say.
And it was offered a distribution deal by IFC, Independent
Film Channel.
Film Channel, thank you. And I think that the producers declined that because they weren't happy with the deal they were being offered, and they decided to more or less self-distribute, which is something that's happening a lot with independent film right now. And, it was an interesting choice, because I think this film is kind of a tough sell, and it doesn't work sort of through conventional channels of seeing it. But I think it's moving. It's very slow, I thought.
I think that's because it takes a lot of what would be transitional moments in a regular film and plays them out, because that's when we do a lot of our thinking, a lot of our feeling, a lot of changing our minds.
Exactly.
Maybe when we're driving down a road.
It's kind of a psychological piece.
Very much.
Yeah.
And how nothing happens, but the world changes.
Right.
That kind of movie.
Yeah, subtle shifts.
Yeah, exactly. You're really selling this film. You really make me want to see it. It sounds
very intriguing film. Not perfect, but boy, this guy can really make a film.
Yeah.
All right. Michael J. Smith Sr., Jimmy Ron Ross, Tara Rigg star in the film that Lance Hammer's written and directed, Ballast, and it's unrated. The docudrama Stranded, I Come From a Plane That Crashed on the Mountain, is another telling of that story that was featured in the film Alive, and I think they've done two dramatic versions of this. Gonzalo Arejon wrote and directed this documentary version of the film. It's unrated. Henry, what'd you think?
Well, it's okay. It's over 2 hours long. I'm not sure they needed haul that time to tell what is basically a daunting but ultimately fairly simple story. They follow the survivors on a trip back to the Andes with their kids to see the site of the event, and then they recreate in footage that's meant to look old in a very annoying way, by the way, the events of the time and in detail what they went through, and it is what it is. It's a very straightforward documentary and docudrama footage.
Now, I remember the book from the 70s, Alive, based on this incident, and I think it was maybe a TV movie or actually a feature. I'm not sure.
It was at least one feature,
right?
Yeah.
Maybe two.
Mexican director made one.
Right, yeah. Right. And it's quite a harrowing story, yeah. Of course, of what they have to resort
to. It doesn't feel harrowing here, which I think is a good choice. I mean, what they do is they go more minutely through the experience, and I think that's the best thing about the film. I mean, how they come to decisions to do certain things, but over 2 hours. You know,
long.
You felt stranded.
Yeah.
Stranded. I come from a plane that crashed on the mountain is unrated. The documentary Dear Zachary uncovers the life and murder of filmmaker Kurt Kuhn's childhood friend. The movie is unrated. Lael?
Yeah, Kurt Kenny is, I think, a really talented filmmaker. I saw maybe his first film like 10 more years ago called Scrapbook, I think. And this is a very, very personal story. It's about his best friend, really, who was murdered, presumably, and it seems very likely, by the woman who bore him a child after she killed him. And so it's a very complicated kind of, starts out as a mystery, and then it turns into, you know, really a documentary about what happened. Then it's sort of an indictment of the justice system, really, in many ways, and the fact that it became so difficult to extradite this woman who was in Canada to the United States, and all the problems with the judicial system, and also a portrait of the grandparents of this boy who struggle against this woman to gain custody of the boy. Very well done, moves very fast, lots of overlapping, fast-moving dialogue and interesting cutting. It's a gripping story and troubling at the same time.
Dear Zachary, written and directed by Kurt Kenny, is that correct?
That's right.
All right, and the film is unrated. And finally this week, from South Africa, the film The World Unseen, two women living in apartheid South Africa struggle to overcome their prejudices and start new relationships. Lisa Ray and Chital Sheth co-star in the film, which is written and directed by Shamim Sarif. It's rated PG-13. Henry?
Yeah, it's set in 1952 and takes place among the Indian South Asian immigrant community in South Africa and what they called the colored or mixed race community. Look, I hate to say it, this film is very amateurish. Plays like a student project with a little bit more money. So I really can't recommend you shell out money for it.
The World Unseen is best unseen. film rated PG-13. Well, let's move on to talk about DVDs. And before we get into the more recent films, there is a new box set put together, the films of Bud Bedeker. Is that how you say his name?
Absolutely correct.
Bud Bedeker. And I know you're saying a number of these, Henry, have not been released previously on DVD?
Never on DVD, and I think only one of them on VHS. This is a phenomenal release. The 50s were a great decade for Westerns. You had, you know, Ford, Hawks, Raoul Walsh, Anthony Mann, Andre de Toth, Jacques Turner, all making great Westerns. These five films are some of the best Westerns of that decade. They're really that good.
Which
what
films
are they?
They are
The Tall T, Buchanan Rides Alone, Ride Lonesome, Comanche Station, incredible masterpiece, and Decision at Sundown. Bedeker was had a great vision of the West, in which is a place dominated by an ever-changing landscape that was ever threatening to take over the little bits of human settlement that were left. They were shot mostly mostly in New Mexico and Arizona. They go so far as to name the places, Bisbee and Santa Cruz,
yes.
And places
like
that.
I've got to get this.
Yeah, and they mostly take place in the wilderness, although the funny thing is, in the two movies that feature important segments in towns, it's worse there. It's more dangerous. People are less trustworthy than they are, although, you know, out in the wilderness, people aren't great either. A lot of what happens is that Randolph Scott, who's the producer and the star of all these movies, is a guy who's kind of condemned to the West. You never see him at home. He talks about having a home now and then. He's someone who's resolved some great difficulty in his past, he thought, but it hasn't worked out the way he wanted. So he's kind of condemned to ride alone, although they don't make a big deal about it. And he frequently goes up against a bad guy, and the bad guy is sick of his gang, whom he considers, you know, droolers and morons, and identifies more with Randolph Scott. And Scott, and a lot of the movie is Scott saying, no, I'm going to show you the difference between you and me. And the action in these movies, Baedeker was a horseman himself, and the riding scenes, the chases are tremendous. He frequently puts in a scene of cowboys trying to break a horse or a mule. He has a lot of interesting stuff about mules. I know that sounds crazy, but he does. Great cast. The villains are played by just great actors.
I see Richard Boone is here, Purnell Roberts.
Purnell Roberts, you know, who quit Bonanza because he says he was wasting his talent. Here you see that talent.
How good he is.
Yeah, that it really was. Yes, and Claude Akins plays one of the villains. He's very good. And the supporting cast includes James Coburn in his first movie, Craig Stevens, and great character actors of the era like James Best and Skip Hohmeyer, and the acting is really quite superior. The plots tend to be fairly similar, but the great thing of having this set and watching them all together is to see the incredible amount of variation that Baedeker could get in this by shifting the moral perspective around even just a little bit. And the shots of the West, the compositions, you can see that Sergio Leone got a lot of his compositions of guys in circles or in face-offs from Baedeker. He's clearly a crucial influence on Leone and also Sam Peckinpah.
And speaking of other directors, introductions to these five films from Clint Eastwood, Taylor Hackford, and Martin Scorsese.
And an excellent documentary on Bud Baedeker that was originally shown on PBS.
Great.
And Taylor Hackford was a friend of Baedeker. I met him doing an interview for him for KCET in 1971.
Oh, wow. And when Hackford was working at KCET at the time.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of great stuff. You'll learn a lot about Baedeker as well as seeing his movies.
All right. This is from Sony Pictures Home Entertainment, The Collector's Choice, the films of Bud Baedeker, five films that were released between 1957 and 1960, all of them starring and co-produced by Randolph Scott, and The Tall T, Decision at Sundown, Buchanan Rides Alone, Ride Lonesome, and Comanche Station, all out in this boxed set from Sony, the films
and
of
it,
Bud
it
Baedeker.
And it lists at $60, but you can find it for $45 real easy on the internet.
All right. Also out this week on Sunday, Kung Fu Panda. Get Smart is out, the version starring Steve Carell and Anne Hathaway, and Henry Poole is here, starring Owen Wilson and Radha Mitchell. Those films are also out on video. Thanks to our critics, Leah Lowenstein and Henry Sheehan. There's more of Air Talk coming up next right here on 89.3 KPCC.